Good evening, guys. It's okay. I like to just talk to myself. thanks, Sean. Over the last few weeks, it's been a kind of an interesting journey for me personally, because just been a number of different things going on in my life as I've kind of been exploring some things and looking into some things. In particular, as many of you guys know, Brooke and myself and the family went up to Virginia a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, for my sister's wedding, and all of my extended family from all over the world, cousins, uncles, aunts, all kind of came into town for this wedding, so I got to catch up with some of them whom I hadn't spoken with for probably 15 plus years. And just a few weeks before that, you guys remember the message that I did on losing hope, and just that whole idea of what it looks like when we're facing the big questions in life about God and how He deals with us and how He deals with life and who He is and how suffering plays into everything. And we kind of dealt a little teeny tiny bit with that. And then I came off of that message and was on an airplane heading to Texas and had a girl sitting next to me who went to church when she was young, Sunday school, and just inadequate answers for big questions. And so by the time she got to be a young adult, she walked away from church, and she's now in her late 20s and traveling the world and with Greenpeace and who knows what, being a nurse all over the world and doing fantastic and wonderful things. But God is no part of her life. And as I talk with her and I share with her and I think with her, and we talked on the airplane, you just realize that she's missing out on this whole idea of God because nobody ever bothered sitting with her and talking about the real big questions and the real big things that haunt humanity and haunt our hearts and minds even as we study the scriptures. And I talked to all of my friends, all of my family and my cousins, and many of them, in fact all of them but two, really don't have much to do with God anymore because they've gone through difficult things, struggles, everything from sexual abuse to alcoholism to you name it, just across the board. Growing up in homes that have been tough and, looking at all of that, just going, where is God in all of this? So, over the last few weeks, it's just been really, really, really huge for me in thinking about Mosaic Church and thinking about us and thinking about what we're doing here. And I've been asking myself this question, are we willing and are we, do we have the courage to step into the really, really big questions and dig into them and ask ourselves, is God outside of those, should we just leave them alone and just pretend they don't exist, or should we just take them head on? And of course, you know me, so you know I'm a questioner, so you know we're going to deal with them, right? So I just had in my heart, starting in July, when I get back from South Africa, we're going to jump into all the big ones, and we're going to really just dig into what God has to say about all these things. So you're going, Renaud, where is this going? Hang with me for a second, okay? So I've just been kind of in this whole mix of things, asking big questions, looking at stuff, digging into things, and then, stuff going on here at the church is constant, and everything's going fast, and everything's moving fast, and God's opening doors for us, and, things are starting to emerge that we didn't think could happen. Now they're going to happen, and this summer's coming, and it's coming fast, and there's so many exciting things we got to get on top of, and I'm so excited about it. And in the midst of all of that, I've got these four children at home that are driving me insane, and yet I love them to death. And I've got my wife at home who's tired and exhausted, still trying to recover from that crazy wedding we went to. And, as you've been hearing in the last 2 weeks, I'm acting like a pure gentleman toward her, not. And, just that whole thing. And, somebody said to me this morning, hey, are you tired? And I looked at them right in the eye and I said, yes, I am. I'm just tired. I'm tired. Yeah. So, this afternoon, just was thinking about all of that. Just thinking. And I said, God, I'm tired. God, I am. I'm not burned out or anything, but I'm just tired. My mind seems so full all the time, and there's so much frenzied stuff going on constantly. And, I don't know, God, I just miss something right now. I just miss something. And even tonight, this week's been so crazy, so many things happening, and all week long I've been thinking Sunday night's going to come, and I got to be ready for Sunday night, and I've got Goliath and David, or David and Goliath in the morning, And, you know, even this afternoon as I was driving home, I'm like, God, you know, the stuff I was thinking about this week about sharing tonight, just, I don't know, doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do. And so as the afternoon unfolded, certain things started kind of emerging in my mind. The first thing that kind of jumped out at me was this little verse that that God kind of laid out. It's found in the book of Philippians, and you're welcome to turn there with me, or you can just sit back and listen. But in the book of Philippians, there is a verse, and it is on my MOCOM, it is slotted as my favorite verse in Scripture. And I would say that that is probably accurate. This is probably my favorite verse in Scripture. It's in, hold on, I'm getting there in a second. I got this marker in here. It's in the book of Philippians, and it's found in chapter 3. It's on page 815 of our Bibles. It's a verse you may be very familiar with, you may not be. This is a verse I'm very familiar with, and so even as I read it, I'm like, it's just, you know, great, but it's so familiar. And it says this, listen carefully. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. So that whole passage, you know, just is in my mind, and this one little phrase in the passage just jumps out of that passage and rings in my head. Just rings. Here it is. You ready? Just these words. That I may gain Christ, and here it is, and be found in Him. Just those words just rang out in my head. To be found in Him. Now, obviously, here in the context, clearly it's talking about being found in Christ in terms of our salvation and that we're found in Him, that His righteousness becomes our righteousness. But that those words, as they kind of came out at me, they came out with so much more. This concept of being found in something. Have you ever thought about that? What it would be like just to be found? Somebody finds you. They come and they find you. And they see you and they're like, Renaud, hey! And they just, there you are. And then they look around and they're like, wow. And they just realize they found you in Christ. You just were there, right there in Christ. Oh, I'm in Christ. And you started thinking about that. And I started thinking about, what does that look like for me today? What does that look like just in a normal 12-hour period of time? Outside of being found in Christ, as far as my salvation goes, I know I'm found in Christ and I'm excited about that. But just today, what does that look like? And I started thinking about that. And I started thinking, you know, if you're just found in Christ, you start throwing anything at that equation. Circumstances, throw them. Any circumstance comes at you, if you're just found in Christ, can you imagine how you would just deal with life circumstances? Everything comes and you just find yourself in Christ. You're just there. That's what you're doing. You're just found in Christ. Or things go on and you've got to think through stuff and the frenzied world out there starts getting, you just go, you know what? Just everything focuses back to the fact that I'm found in Christ. So as I'm thinking about this, I remembered this book that I read quite a while ago, and I've mentioned it to several people on occasion as one of my favorite books, but I just haven't looked into it for a long time, and it just suddenly dawned on me, you know, this whole concept of just being found in Christ, where does that start drawing a picture in my mind? And this picture came to mind, and it came in part because I remembered this book. Listen to these words real quick. This is from the book Into the Depths of God by Calvin Miller. And he writes in the very first chapter this: most of us dress our Christian faith in an ill-fitted discipleship that's like a cheap suit, leaves us uncomfortable most of our lives. Among our friends at church, we struggle to keep our reputation for godliness bannered forth. We like to appear to be like Jesus without the discipline of really being like Him at all. Reading several dozen fill-in-the-blank self-help manuals, we talk ourselves into a spiritual reputation we have neither really earned or really understand. We continue to live on the surface, only talking of the deeper life. Calvin Miller kind of begins to share this concept of how so often the church exists, and why many of you, like me, have been so frustrated so often with the church in general, because you walk in and it's this judgmental, fake, horrible place that you kind of go, I'm just uncomfortable. If you don't dress a certain way, talk a certain way, look a certain way, do certain things, you're just kind of, people look at you weird. And you just go, wow, that's just kind of odd. And it kind of comes out of this sense of that we're not finding ourselves back in that place where we're just in Christ. One of my favorite movie scenes in history comes out of a movie called The Prince of Tides. So many of you have probably seen it. It's an older movie, and it's one of my favorites. And there's a scene in the movie, and you probably know it because if you've been in the church for any length of period, I've mentioned this scene. The three children in The Prince of Tides, their parents are fighting in the house. And so they come running out of the house down the pier, and they jump into the water, and they sink down below the surface of the water, and all of the fighting from their parents gets very quiet and very, very still. And as they're under there, there's this little moment where the main character's dialoguing over it, and they're holding hands, and I love the way he says this. He says, "We would stay under the water until our lungs would betray us, and then we would rise back to the surface where all the chaos existed. But as long as we were right there under the water, just sitting there, nothing mattered. All of that noise just kind of went away." Listen to what Calvin Miller says in this book. He puts it this way. He says this. hold on 1 second. Here it is. Those who enjoy, and he's talking about the deeper life, stepping past the standard normal stuff. Those who enjoy it have eyes that see the invisible, ears that hear the inaudible, and minds that conceive the inconceivable. True spirituality is not extrasensory, it is ultrasensory, where the chamber of our hearts ultimately empties itself of self, and a new kind of being is born, one that thrills at his presence. There, in our inmost being, we discover that our hearts are not chambers, but doorways. Then he goes on to this. He says this, "Deep is the dwelling place of God. Deep is the character of the ocean. Hold the metaphor for a moment and savor its lesson ahead of time. For deep is where the noisy, trashy surface of the ocean gets quiet and serene. No sound breaks the awesome silence of the ocean's heart. Most Christians, however, spend their lives being whipped tumultuously through the surface of circumstances in their days. Their frothy lifestyles mark the surface nature of our lives. Yet those who plumb the deep things of God discover true peace, perhaps for the first time. Deep is the gift of the disciplined life." And then he goes on and says this, "Let our ordinary senses bring us to discovery. Let them confess their shortcomings. Let the ear be shamed by rich silence. Let the eye discover what cannot be seen. Let the mind be challenged by the inscrutable wall of the mystery of godliness. Let us see his significance by turning from our insignificance." And all these words just kind of started coming through my mind today. And I started thinking about this life, thinking about how quickly and how easily I find myself at the surface all the time, frenzied and running around and going crazy and getting things done and pushing to try to accomplish and try to get this and try to get that and try to finish this. And very quickly, I start forgetting the quiet, serene stillness of what God calls us to when we stop and we say, "I'm going to discover you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to rest in you." I want to read one more thing from this, and then I want to share with you the last scripture that God gave me today. Just want to read this little amazing thing that he shares about the lives we so often live and how they totally and completely push us into kind of an odd place. Hold on 1 second. Let me just find it for a second. Welcome to Sunday nights. Here we go. It says this, "God becomes visible to those who look for him in the right place. Therefore, no eye, no literal eye can see him, no ear can hear him, no mind can conceive of him. He hides his vastness only in the deepest dimensions of our inner existence." And he says this, "The world around us is like the world of outer relationships. In such outer places, we make friends, achieve success, get on in the world. In this busy, worried world, we have appointments, face disappointments, and force our ego-driven souls to stab at achieving power. On the surface of our lives, things frenzied dominate us. But in our hearts, it is quite another matter. 1 Corinthians 2:10 contains one little word that lunges at us with challenge. It says, "But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." And that's where he speaks of the deep being the dwelling place of God. So I was challenged this afternoon, and I know I'm kind of out there today, just hang with me for a second. I was challenged this afternoon about this whole concept of the life that I live. I've got all these questions about God now and all these things going on and these things I'm trying to sort through in my head, and I've got my family going on and I've got my stuff going on and I've got the church going on, and God kind of whispers to me and says, "Renaud, hold on one second. Why don't you and I just stop for a second? Why don't you come and you rest with me? Why don't you sit with me? Why don't you spend some time with me? Because before you know it, Renaud, all of those questions rumbling around in your head and all that stuff you got to get done and all those appointments you have and all that those things you have to accomplish, you will quickly start sitting and saying, you know, what my eyes see and what my ear hear and what my mind's trying to conceive of is a difficult task. But suddenly there in the quiet, I will give you eyes that see so much more, ears that hear so much more, and a mind that can conceive of things so much more." And then that whisper came, "Renaud, the gift of discipline is the deep. The gift of discipline is the quiet. Throw yourself back into me and who I am and what I'm doing in you and through you and by you, and spend time there." And then he gave me that beautiful verse in Matthew. And this is kind of where I want to take you guys tonight and just spend a few minutes here. And then I'll let you go and reflect on these things. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, on page 677 of our Bibles. I'll read it first from the NIV, and then I want to read it from the Message. It says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to read that exact same verse from the Message. This is the verse you find on the front page of our website in this version, and this is what it says. Same exact verse, just put a little differently. And I've kind of placed my name in it, so bear with me as I just throw my name in here. "Renaud, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Whew. I just sat back this afternoon as I was heading over here, still kind of frenzied. Just took a deep breath, and I went, "God, this is what I want. This is what I want. I don't want to be on a little boat at the top of the ocean in the middle of a storm, bouncing around like a madman. I just want to throw on a mask, jump in the ocean, and sink as deep as I can. And when it gets very quiet and very still, there, I just want to rest." And God whispers to us through Matthew 11, "That reality, Renaud, is yours anytime you want it." And then I laugh and I go, "God, thank you. That's great. But you don't understand. I got Monday waiting for me, and Monday's going to be frenzied again." And God goes, I know, Renaud, but I want you to know something. In this life, you got an option. You can either spend the rest of your life on a religious frenzy, getting all your ducks in a row, getting all your stuff done, working hard to make everything happen, getting poking it at this and running at that and working at this, trying to find in of yourself the strength you need to be the husband, you need to be the dad, you need to be the pastor you need to be. Or you can remember, like David did this morning, that at the end of the day, everything you'll muster up will never lead you to the kind of rest that you're reading about here. It will never lead you to the kind of peace that I have for you. It will never lead you to a life where you can learn to live freely and lightly. That life is a life that only comes to those who are willing to dig into me, to find their company with me. Do you hear that word? To find their company with me. And then it takes me all the way back to the beginning where God said, I want you, Renaud, to be found in me. Just to be found in me. So may I leave you with this evening. I'm sorry for being all perhaps existential on you tonight a little bit. But may I leave you with this. As you leave this place tonight, as you head out into that frenzied planet out there, waiting to call your name and get you all go, go, go again. Would you, like me, ask yourself this? What am I doing to force myself into the places where I am simply finding company with my God? If you're here tonight and you're brand new at this journey, you're just kind of starting to figure out what this whole thing means to begin to find out who God is and to follow Christ, may I just encourage you not to take this journey lightly, but to look at this and go, man, this is what I want. And to take the time to dig into the things of God. Find some people in your life that can come alongside you and grab your hand and walk with you down the journey. There's two or three men in the church right now that I'm doing that with, that I'm walking with, and it is the coolest ride on the planet as I watch them discover the wonders of this verse, finding a life they couldn't have imagined. And there are men in my life that have walked with me and continue to help me continue to find this. And if you're here tonight and you know God, you've been following Him for years, you know a whole bunch in the Bible, you're good at this whole thing, can I just encourage you to leave this place tonight and just to say, God, in the midst of unanswerable questions, in the midst of circumstances that don't make any sense to me, in the midst of worry and anxiety and trouble, in the midst of fear and stress and strain, in the midst of frenzy, I'd like to just spend some time with you again. I'd like to just stop again. And I'd like to just be found in you again. Go and take those passages that you haven't visited in a while and visit them for a while. And allow God's voice to speak to you through His word. Go and take some time in the quiet just to say, God, it's just you and me. Can you just settle me again? It is my prayer for you, as it is my prayer for myself, that we would run down the boardwalk of life and that we would jump with all of our might into the waters of God, that we would sink down into them a little ways, and when all the noise goes away for a few minutes, that we would sit there, and until our lungs defy us and betray us, let us rest in the quiet, serene place just being with God. And it's very simple. Take His word. Take someone that can give you some guidance and just begin the journey of discovering this God. And then you too will find yourself doing this. Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me, Jesus said, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. May we keep company with Christ, because it is only there that we will ever find the strength and ever find the peace to live this life the way it was designed to live, full of freedom, full of life, full of joy. Would you pray with me? God, I'm kind of weirding myself out tonight, Lord. Just want you to know that. God, I know a lot of the stuff that I've just talked about is somewhat intangible, God. I mean, I even have a hard time wrapping my hands around it and figuring out exactly what it is you're calling me to and exactly what it is you're asking of me. God, you understand me so well. God, I've got an iPhone sitting right here in my pocket full of appointments for this week, full of things that need to happen. And God, I know that you're not calling me to just dump all of that and run away. So I'm just going to ask you, Lord, just for my own life, Holy Spirit, would you please just show me, just in your own quiet, gentle way, would you show me the moments in my day that are available to me to steal away and to stop and to breathe and to take a moment to be found in you, to keep company with you. God, would you do me a favor, Lord? Take everyone in this building right now, God. And this week, would you just whisper to their souls, to their hearts? Would you just whisper to them, shh, stop for a second. I know you're anxious. I know you're stressed. I know you're frenzied. I love you. But come for a moment. Take a moment with me. Come to me. Be found in me. Keep company with me. And I will show you the rhythms of the grace that I have. God, would you take every person in this building just this week, and would you give them a new opportunity to be found in you? God, for those here that are just starting out the journey with you, God, my heart just beats with excitement for them. God, after 20 years following you, Lord, you know you and I have been through a lot. We've done some serious caving and some serious scuba diving and some serious digging. And God, I can't wait for these that have just begun to discover the wonders of who you are, the depths of your love, the power of your life. Would you bring alongside of them some of those in this church that have traveled with you for a long time? And would you give them the grace to travel quietly with some? God, I guess I'm just asking that we can find this life that you talk about. This life that is free and light. That you would give us rest for our souls. That you would recover our lives. Because you are the God of redemption. You are the God that makes all things new. So would you make us new every day? Show us the way, God. I long for rest with you. Show me the way.